Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
I learned this technique from Dr. Benjamin Hardy, and all it is just bearing witness to what the people in your arena go through on a regular basis as a leader, because we are social creatures and we will always follow the individuals who are relatable to our pain. Doesn't matter what your rank is. Doesn't matter how old you are. If someone is relatable to your pain and they demonstrate it in an authentic, intentional way, we are automatically going to show reciprocity to that individual.
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Bullet one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Anytime I thought through trying to lead someone, Admittedly, as a manager of people, I've not always been a great manager of people, not because I don't care about people. It's just that I didn't know how to best help someone. I didn't know how to tell them something in the way that they needed to hear it for them to be able to understand it. And that took training, and effort for me to learn how to do those things. And I feel like I've gotten really good at it today. I always cared. I just didn't know how to share that information with them. And how you talk to somebody matters. I can picture you, Scott, being over in Afghanistan and trying to build social capital, with someone, and you could have said something the same way to three different people and they not heard it the same way that you said it, and that could have caused a problem for you. So I'm sure you 100% probably had,
it could get you killed.
That's what I'm saying. And that's the high stakes as it gets. But that's true for any of us listening right now too.
It's true for anywhere. Yeah, it's true anywhere. And what I say is, like, and this is one of the things that I teach at my workshops, when I say own every room, that's what I call the workshop, is being relatable to pain, relevant to goals. Well, the how of that. So if you're talking to a client that's ticked off, or if you're talking to a teenager that is just not able to connect with you, or you can't connect with them, the first order of business, really, for every person who's interested in leading, which means, influencing to meet your goals, is you got to see the pictures in the head of the other party. Like, it's not like a kumbaya touchy-feely thing. We are social creatures. Humans are social creatures. And we know when someone is actually authentically, intentionally trying to see the pictures in our head, and when someone could care less, right? And because we are meaning-seeking creatures, if someone across from me is demonstrating zero interest in the pictures in my head, I have zero interest in them. In fact, I'm probably a bit either agitated or on guard, right? But if my intention going in is to see the pictures in the head of the other party, i.e., what's their pain? What's their goals? What's their pain? What's their goals? That's my operating system. And honestly, you can't ask for a quote. You can't demand an action in any real effective way until you see those pictures in their head. It's absolutely critical. And, Chris Voss, who wrote Never Split the Difference, the FBI negotiator, he goes a step further and he says, not only do you need to see the pictures in the head of the other party, their goals and their pain, but you need to articulate back to them what they are. Because you said, Chris, like, I was young, I wasn't necessarily relevant to somebody's goals. If you can just articulate back to somebody what their goals are, half the time they'll fall on the floor because no one ever cares, right? But if you can articulate back to them what their goals are and what their pain is associated with those goals, you'll know you got it when they say, that's right. When you hear them say, that's right, it's like the click on a safe. Like, you have just got the other party ready to listen to what you have to say. And, that to me is worth its weight in gold in terms of how I approach, whether it's my kid or whether it's a client. Because that's a different game. I'm playing a different game now. And once I get them ready to listen to what I have to say, then we can really start to meet each other's goals. And so it takes a little bit of practice, but it's the same. It's the same for a dusty village in Afghanistan as it is, you know, an irate client or just somebody that's a prospect.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that, Scott. Because this is a public podcast and there will be people listening, I figure this is a great forum to hold myself accountable. So when you say you need to see the pictures in their mind, to me, what I think of in running a business is we push so much process and procedure at our technicians and field professionals out in the field, and we never see their pain. We never see the pictures in their mind as to, oh my God, I just got another email about another process and of this and of that. So what I'm going to do is next Thursday, I already just looked at my calendar. It's completely free. I'm just going to go ride with technicians and understand their pain. What is it that we are doing that we think is so great and so wonderful that, you know, you got to do it this way and this is going to be great. Like I unfortunately have not seen that. We've gotten big and it's great and that's awesome, but like we're losing sight of the things that to me you just pointed out is if you can't see the pain, if you can't see what is truly affecting what makes them happy and what makes them successful, you're never going to be in a position where they're going to listen. And as a leader, we need them to listen. It's we got to go see it. So next Thursday, I'm going out and we're going to find out what in the hell we are causing. Why are we causing so much pain? And we're going to fix it because it can't be that difficult. But we never saw the pictures.
I love that, Chad. And I'm not just saying this. I would appreciate it if you get a chance, man, shoot me a text or something. And let me just know how that goes because I'm a big fan of this. And, you know, a couple of things to just build on what you just said for anybody that's thinking about this. One, remember we talked about the churn. This is something that I hit hard in the book, Nobody's Coming to Save You, because of this reason. The leadership environment that we are in has changed dramatically in the last 5 years. And if you look around, you know what I'm talking about. I call it the four Ds. There is an increased level of distraction, disengagement, disconnection, and distrust in the country. You see it everywhere. You see it in politics. You see it at the Thanksgiving table. You see it with these dopamine dispensers that we walk around with, right? Like we are living in an unprecedented time of churn where the social dynamics make it very difficult to meet your goals. So the baseline for us as leaders, as business owners, has changed. It's changed dramatically. And the first special ops imperative is know your operational environment. Always know your environment. And the environment has shifted like tectonic plates under our feet. And so we got to know that. And so how we connect, how we move our people to do the right thing when nobody's looking, it ain't what got you here. It's not going to get you there. It's just not. And I've spent 3 decades looking at human dynamics. And I'm telling you, the competitive advantage is to understand this churn differently than everybody else does. And so to your point, what that approach is a tactic that I call being an empathetic witness.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp's deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Hey, Chad Peterman here. I've been all in on BlueOn for quite a while now, and it's not just me. Contractors all over are seeing similar results. Tony at Just-In-Time Heating says their support calls dropped immediately once they rolled it out. His techs get reliable answers from BlueOn's AI faster than what they get from the OEMs. And their parts guy, he's loving it too. It's made his job way easier. They're saving time, solving problems quicker, and feeling more confident in the field. BlueOn's just become part of the process. And yeah, Peterman Brothers is definitely seeing that impact too. Click the link in the description and book a quick demo. You'll get it.
And basically, I learned this technique from Dr. Benjamin Hardy. And all it is just bearing witness to what the people in your arena go through on a regular basis as a leader. Because we are social creatures and we will always follow the individuals who are relatable to our pain. Doesn't matter what your rank is. Doesn't matter how old you are. If someone is relatable to your pain and they demonstrate it in an authentic, intentional way, we are automatically going to show reciprocity to that individual. So when you do that staff ride or when you do that ride about, you're good over. If you do it like over time, you will see a shift. It's just palpable. And I encourage do this with your kids, do this with anybody that you're asking to do something. Get out there and be that empathetic witness. Bear witness to their goals and their pain without judgment and just listen with the intention of discovery and pictures in their head. And if you just do that, it's going to open up a whole new realm of ways to lead that were not available to you before.
Yeah, we're creatures of habit too. So like getting into a habit of doing that is difficult, right? To put yourself in the situation to think that, like, because your autopilot's on whatever it's on. So, you know, I think you have to be, the key word you used is intentional. Like you have to be intentional about looking for those things, that picture in their, you know, in their mind.
Yeah.
Real quick, will you say those four D's over again, just real quick? I know the last one was distress. What was the four D's again?
So the first one is distraction. The average attention span of a human these days is 8 seconds.
I'm sorry.
Right, the next, yeah. Well played, sir. The next. Don't encourage him yet. The next one is disengagement. This is the absence of purpose. You know, we're seeing this like crazy, right? With a lot of the quiet quitting and all the other crap that's out there. Like the lack of purpose is really rampant. The third is disconnection. So being, and I qualify that as just the isolation that we're experiencing after 2 years of COVID, the disconnection from the natural world. We have our heads in these represented realities here instead of the natural world. And then that manifests in number four, which is distrust. And that's the one that worries me the most. 2/3 of Americans say they don't trust their neighbor anymore. That's up from 1/3 in 1972. And most of the institutions that we rely on for civil society, democracy, the things that keep our country free are in the single digits or teens right now in terms of institutional trust.
And even the military has dropped to almost 50% from 75% just 5 years ago.
So trust is a real problem. And so as leaders, now that's a baseline.
Right. So now in your industry, it may be higher in some areas, lower in some areas, higher in some demographics, you know, whatever. But as a baseline, think about how that shows up.
What that means to you as a travel ball coach, as a parent, as a member of your school board, like we have to play a different game now. That's why I'm so big on the art and science of human connection, because if you're a pedestrian or a mouth breather on this one, you're going to get left in the dust. You're just going to be part of a churn rather than somebody who's influencing within it.
Scott, I got a question for you. You brought up something interesting there. So, and I think you talked about this in Cabo, but obviously you did 17 tours, and I'm going to guess that not all of the time you agreed with what the government was doing and their stance on things and the way that they were going about things. So I want to frame this from you being a field professional, the government being management, leadership at a company, different stuff like that. From your perspective, why did you keep going back? What kept you there? And I'm asking this question for our field professionals who are out there grinding, going through the trenches, crawling through crawl spaces, doing all of this stuff, only to have leadership give them more process, more procedure, more things to do, all of this. Why was it that you kept on fighting and doing your thing, even when you didn't always agree with what leadership was saying?
Chad, that was a really great question, dude. Nice job.
Hey, I'm going to come out strong. Really good question.
So I appreciate that question. Of the 17, you know, times I said goodbye, quite a few of those were trips abroad, and they were in the capacity as an advisor, what we call a combat advisor. So a combat advisor's job is to be out there on the front, you know, on the edges, and you are working with indigenous people on one hand. Like, so those, think of those as your clients, right? The villagers. And then you are also implementing the policies and orders of the senior leaders and officers and generals and admirals and politicians above you. So you're like this fulcrum between these two worlds. And I equate that very closely to what you're talking about here. These field professionals who are out there, who are a fulcrum, right? They are in between the clientele. And then of course the policyholders or the leaders that they are implementing on behalf of. And what we have to understand on this one, and this is critical, by definition, that's going to be a dichotomy. By definition, there's going to be conflict and tension in that relationship. You're never going to get away from it. There's always going to be a natural tension between the people you serve at the client level and the people who you work for, or that are above you. And it sometimes it's more pronounced than others, but my personal belief is that for the field professionals, regardless of industry, that are out there doing that, one is that they tend to have an affinity for the work and the mission and what it is that they're putting into the world, and they see the impact and the benefits of it. But there's also just a genuine respect and even love for the people that they serve at the local level. And I can tell you, in like in Afghanistan, when we pulled out of that country, the special forces community were actually pulled out prior to that. And it was crushing. I mean, to have to tell these people that we had made promises to and that we had made commitments to, that we were leaving and we were being pulled out, it was just bone crushing. And it felt like my soul was in a vice, you know. And sometimes as field professionals, we can feel that way. We can feel just this like literally like a vice is being twisted on us from what we know is the right thing to do at the local level versus what is being laid on us from above. And the only thing I know to say is what is true for me was that we have to be in those. One of the hardest things is that we have to lead up. We have to be willing to stand on principle, and we have to be willing to stand on foundations that allow us to articulate ground truth to the people above us. And if the decisions that are being made are not in the best interest of the client, or they're not in the best interest of what's actually happening on the ground, I am honor bound to articulate that up the chain and to be pretty vocal about it, right? And then you have to decide to what degree you're going to go with that. But any senior leaders that are listening to this as well, is if you don't have an environment where you create that psychological safety for that to happen, that's going to bite you in the ass. That's right. It's just a matter of time. It will bite you in the ass, and it will bite you in the ass hard. And so that is where the courage has to come from the top down, is are you willing to hold space and create the psychological safety necessary so that your field professionals can come to you and tell you the friggin' truth? And even if you don't want to hear it, it's what you need to hear. And man, both directions in this time that we live in, it's hard. And I see so much zero defect. It's sad. And don't have enough of that in the environment that folks are working in. And I think it's showing up in how we do business.
Yeah, I want to thanks for that, Scott. I think that was a great question, Chad. The you know, for the last, you know, 10 minutes, we're almost an hour into this thing already. What I want to try and do is just pivot, you know, pivot a little bit, Scott. And it's because I think that the, you know, yeah. Some of the training and leadership stuff that you've done in comparison to what to the majority of these listeners here is outside of the box. It's a little different. It's a little unique because you're a little different and unique in a good way. I just mean that this you're drawing from a different place, from a unique position as a Green Beret. But I want the listeners to be able to understand, you know, and this is something where you heard me say at the beginning of this, you know, Scott taught us just a simple little breathing exercise, nothing that seemed revolutionary, but you had us literally sitting at a table as me and Chad and Goodrich and Jake from this group of guys, really great big company leaders. You had us all close our eyes and have to do this little breathing exercise. And I don't need to go through it right now, but the point is that it was something simple, but I've done it. I've done it now multiple times. And as simple as it was, and I didn't think a whole lot of it at the time, I've totally used it about a dozen times already. And it works because what it does is it's not even so much about the breathing for me. It's just about getting my mind right or getting it to settle down and relax to be able to prepare me for whatever, you know, but what I'd like for you to maybe do is that was just one little thing I took away from that one small exercise you gave us. But maybe let our listeners know who might be looking for something that's a little bit different to help with their leadership style or whatever. Maybe let them know on a little bit of some of the options that you do or that you have done with others, because you've had some really successful big, you know, company leaders that you've had, you know, that you've been able to work with. Yep. So maybe share some of those things so they have an idea on how, hey, if I was to connect with Scott, like what is it that you think he could do for me? Will you do that, please?
Yeah. Yeah, no, thanks. I appreciate that. And that technique is called pre-engagement preparation. And it's all about how do you prepare yourself to show up in a high stakes moment and make those connections that you need to make and build rapport and move people to action, whether it's a client, a teammate, whether it's a policy implementation that's really difficult. How do you do that when you're feeling stress, when you're on, you know, and so a lot of that is getting the body in what they call a parasympathetic state from, because most of us are operating in this time of churn. We're in a sympathetic state of fight, flight, or freeze, some version of it all the time. We don't even realize how stressed we are. 3 diaphragmatic breaths and a couple of other, and I'll send you that little video and feel free to share it. But those are the kinds of things that I learned in the most dangerous places on earth where trust was low. But what I've learned is what works in life and death works even better in life and business, right? If you know how to make purposeful human connections in what you do, you're going to be a better negotiator. You're going to be a better listener. You're going to get people to take action in ways that are wildly more effective than because I said so, damn it. And so that's really what I teach is I teach the art and science of human connection, right? Of leading in that way. And it works both inside and outside your business. A couple of things that I would ask people to think about. One is I do a podcast as well called the Rooftop Podcast. And we talk about this kind of stuff all the time and we go really deep on it. The second thing I would say, I've got a book coming out in October. It's on pre-order now, called Nobody is Coming to Save You, A Green Beret's Guide to Getting Big Stuff Done. It's actually not stuff, it's shit, but I think it's a very useful, handy, tactical guide to do the kind of things that we've talked about here. It's very, it's very sleeves up, getting it done kind of stuff of when it's hard to lead and everything from active listening to storytelling, to negotiation principles, ways to lead yourself when you're really going through it. And I learned, these are all the lessons I learned both abroad and then coming home in my dark times. And I think people will really get a lot out of that. A lot of the stuff that we've talked about here. And then, of course, I do a live event twice a year called Own Every Room. And it's really cool. We do it out at a dude ranch. Josh came to it recently, Josh Kelly. We do it out at a dude ranch in Old Florida. And we do old school human connection skills, the same stuff I teach Green Berets at Fort Bragg and FBI. I teach at this event on how to make human connections, how to tell your story of your company in a way that people can't look away from you. We do it around a fire pit, how to use active listening techniques in a high emotion situation with a client or an employee, and see the pictures in the head of the other party. And it's just 2 days of intense work, man.
and we go really, really deep on this stuff. And all of that is at scottmann.com. All that's there. My focus is on working with leaders who just want to make a bigger impact in the world through human connection. And there's a range of ways to do it. And, you know, y'all's industry, I think, is probably one of the most important industries in the country right now, because it's what's going to get us back to better days. And I think it's at the street level. It's at the tactical level where rubber meets the road. So the more folks I can work from that industry, the more I can pour myself into them and help you guys get where you want to get in terms of impact and influence. So that's the big stuff I've got going.
I really believe in it too. I mean, that's the whole reason I had you on here, is obviously it left an impact on me. I've heard so many different speakers and things over the years, which is why, like, it was no disrespect. I hadn't heard of you, and I'm glad I do now. I'm glad we've gotten to know each other. It just is what works for me, you know, and I can like really buy into that. It fits for me.
I appreciate that. And
I will say one thing, you know, when Chad and I left and we were talking about you in particular, I mean, Chad's an implementer. Like, he'll take something and he'll like implement before he'll stop paying attention to me and then text somebody to implement the thing that we just heard. And then he'll come back to, he did that with telling the story. Like, he was kind of telling you a little bit about it, but that kind of rang true to him right away. And by the way, like, I think it's because we a lot of times think that maybe our story isn't good enough one to tell. And, you know, somebody wants to hear it. There's some, everybody's got one, you know, a story, and you might have one that's worth telling. Like, you might say, well, listen, there's a bunch of Green Berets, or there's people who did way more than I did, you know, but your story was still incredibly impactful to us, to Chad and I, to then we rolled down to our staff.
Absolutely, man. And I just want to say, this is really important. And again, something I hit really hard in the book is on storytelling. Is it doesn't matter what your industry is. It doesn't matter what the situation is. Our brain, our human brain, is a metaphorical pattern matching organ. The way that our brain makes sense of the world is it tells itself a story. And the only time that it doesn't tell itself a story is if it hears a story. That's it. The stories are a 70,000-year-old sense-making tool. And no matter how much we use these things, the brain, as long as we're alive, for the next 15,000 years probably, will use stories to make sense of the world. So if you want someone to understand an idea or a concept or a brand or a product or a service, or even your kid to understand a lesson, the number one way to communicate it is through storytelling. Number one. And the leaders who get that and who actually work at it are the ones we're going to follow. And the last thing I'll say on this, the stories that you think nobody wants to hear, the stories that scuffed you up, those are the ones that have the most value.
That's right. Totally agree. That's fantastic. I totally agree. See, Chad, you knew what you're doing. Chad, we have to do this. When he was saying that, I just pulled to you. I made a quick note and I thought, man, we need to reach out to Jared, let him know to run that narrated version of Redbird Roofing that's telling the story. Well, listen, Scott, I really appreciate you, man, taking the time. And I'm going to hold Chad accountable to this Thursday ride-along deal and following up with you on it. So that way we can hear how it goes.
Awesome. I'm sending out a video to all the technicians tomorrow morning. It's going to go out. And basically, I'm letting them know, again, the story. Here's what we're going through. Here, I'm doubting myself as a leader, and I feel like I need to understand your story before we can write one together.
That's great.
Yeah. So I'm sending it out tomorrow. I'll send it over to you guys.
Because it's not just story, Chad. The other part of it is context, right? As the what we need as leaders all the time is context. And what we don't get is context. If we don't have the connection to the street level, we don't have context. And I think that was the other part of your question that I wanted to answer, was when you asked, like, you know, this or this, when you're caught in between as a field professional, maybe that was Chris that asked that, is that nobody has a better understanding of context than the person that's implementing at the tactical level. And so the more we can give them the opportunity to inform our context at a senior level, the more informed our decisions will be on the business and what we're trying to do.
Well, sounds like a perfect way to end a podcast. Hey, Scott, man, I appreciate you very much. Again, listeners, it's Scott, man, ScottManN.com. You can find everything he was talking about, all the different books, all the different things that you know that Scott has been a part of. You can be able to get information on the events. Hey, when's the next workshop that's coming up, Scott?
Keep talking and I'll tell you. It's in September.
Okay, so it's in September. You're doing 2 a year. I'm assuming it's going to be in Florida. Is that correct?
It absolutely will. Yeah, it absolutely will. It's in old Florida. It's at a River Ranch. It's a dude ranch.
Perfect. So Chad said he'll go, but only if he can wear chaps.
Hey man, you guys got to come. I'm telling you, it's a blast. It's 14 and 15 October. Sorry, or September. Perfect. God, September. 14 and 15 September.
15. Okay, I'm getting my cowboy hat ready. And my Spurs, and
we have a lot of fun, man.
We're gonna make it go. But well, Scott, man, I really appreciate you coming on here and giving us the time, and you know, and sharing your heart and sharing your experience with our listeners, and you know, and I know it took a little bit to make this happen, but I'm grateful for it. And listen, I couldn't be more grateful that our paths crossed, you know, in Cabo. Like that was fantastic, and just the small amount of time you've been able to help me even a little bit. I'm sure that's probably, you know, part of the purpose of why you're doing all this. So appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Thank you guys both. It's great being on with you, and thanks for the time and for what y'all do. It's super important.
Yeah, you're welcome. And Chad, man, appreciate you, dude. It's so nice to have a co-host again. One that can ask some thoughtful questions, and he's not near as loud as me. And you know, maybe the next episode I'll pick on you a little bit more, but this one didn't seem like the one to do it.
I appreciate that. No, thanks again, Scott. That's really impactful. I think that there's just so much, especially people in the trades, can learn from your experience and your story, and hopefully impact those on the team. So appreciate it.
What works, what works in life and death works even better in life and business. Is that what you said? Like something along those lines?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Especially in the trades, man. I mean, I'm telling you, because it's so similar.
Absolutely. Well, listeners, you know, he gave you some of his tactics. You hear quite a bit of tactics on here all the time, you know, and we was able to share some of the things that from what Chad was asking on what you could do, regardless of what level you're at in the company. But you don't have to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a Rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe, and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review, and be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services podcast. We appreciate you. Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.